Hi, folks. Welcome to Outliving Depression. I'm your host, James Kennison, reminding you that depression is above all a liar. You have value, even when you're broken, and you are stronger than you feel you are. This is my personal audio journal where I am striving to outlive depression.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I always like to start with something interesting. My wife and I were talking the other night on a date, and Jen told me about this mom that she knows from work who has these little babies. They're like 2 and 3 years old, and she has problems with them staying in their rooms, you know, to go to sleep because she has them out of the crib, you know. And they keep coming out. So what she did is she reversed the locks on the doors. So she put the lock, the turn lock on the outside of the doors and locks them in. So they'll stay in bed. Now that might sound like child abuse, and it did to me at first too. But I'm laughing now, so there must be more to it, right? First of all, let's address safety so that we can all enjoy this together. It is safer for the lock to be on the outside of the door than on the inside, because a child can lock itself in a room at that age and then you can't get in. But if there's an emergency, you can always get in to get your kids out. So, okay, now you can relax a little bit and enjoy the humor. It just sounds like something a boomer or a Gen X mom or dad would do to their kids, and it's genius. I think all babies should have locks on the outside of their doors instead of the inside. I think it makes the most sense. Anyway, when the kids fall asleep, she does unlock the doors. So it's just a way to get the daggum kids to give up, you know, coming and knocking on the bedroom door to wake them up, you know. And they have a baby monitor, so. We didn't, dadgummit. When our baby was little, we didn't have a freaking baby monitor. We had one, but we turned it on, and you could hear the ticking of one of the clocks. And it wasn't even a ticker clock. It was a clock that was moved by a quartz mechanism with batteries in it, and you could hear the second hand going dum, dum, dum. And so we didn't want to get woke up every time the baby sighed. So we turned that joker off. And you know what? Our baby is 19 years old now, so she survived. So anyway, I just love that. So flip them locks around, people. Lock them kids in their room. All right, on to our main topic today. Okay, so for the last 2 weeks, I've talked about my job. And just to cut to the chase, I quit. I quit my job. I went from the guy that wasn't going to quit, that was going to make him fire me, to the guy that had a confrontation with the boss, to the guy that just quit. So let me tell you the story. So I had this confrontation with him where we sat down and I told him, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And I said, I don't think you realize it. I don't think you do it on purpose, but you demean people. You're angry. You know, it's making people want to quit, want to leave, you know, this, that, and the other. And he was good for about a week. He, you know, if he had something to say to somebody, he would take them in their office. He would speak calmly to them, especially to me. He didn't freak out and all that, but over the weekend, his mind got rewritten and he came back with a vengeance. And I had talked with Jen about it on Saturday night. And I'm like, it's just getting to the point where he's so unpredictable. Like, he double speaks all the time. I think I mentioned last time about how I was helping 21 with putting vinyl up on a window. And he's like, why are you helping? But then the very next time he was told to do a very similar job, I stayed out of it. And I got yelled at, why didn't you step in? And so mixed messages, and then also random mood swings to where sometimes you make a mistake and he's all in your face. Other times you make a mistake and he's like, oh, you know, just reprint it. It's just, you know, other times it's, oh, that's wasted material. Oh, why aren't you paying attention? You know? So the day I quit, it was a very busy day. It was a very busy day. I had already written out my letter in advance and had placed it in a folder and had that folder on my desk. And I showed it to both my coworkers and said, I don't know if I'm going to give this in, but I want you to know that this is where I'm kind of living right now. And they were both up, you know, not happy about it. And I wasn't happy either, but at least it gave them a warm up because we were good. The three of us are great. Matter of fact, one of them just friended me on Facebook today and I found out he's a musician and I just bragged all over him about it. So we have a connection that goes past just work, you know? So I told them in advance and I let that letter sit on my desk and I went through the whole day and I worked really, really hard. And we went out to an elementary school to try very hard to finish a job there. And we came very close. We had three panels of, I want to say 50 pane glass panel window. We had three that one ripped, one was too small. And one was one of the earliest ones we put on and it was just put on wrong. So I said, let's go home. Let's reprint them, come back out here and finish the job. So 21 got in the bathroom, I guess, and needed some time. So I printed off those and cut them down. And I told the boss, I said, I'm going to go back out there. It's a one-man job. And he said, oh, that's what I like to hear. So I got out there. I drove out there. I couldn't get in the building. Drove all the way back. I'm upset. And let me back up a little bit. I'm sorry. We're driving back with 21 from the first job, you know, where there's three things that are wrong. We were supposed to go out there and finish the job. There's three panels bad. I started feeling anxiety in my chest. I started feeling that pain that comes when I get anxiety. I don't know how your anxiety is if you have it, but for me, it is a physical pain that comes around my heart. And from what I've read, it is real. It is a physical thing that happens and can injure your stinking heart. So as I'm driving back, I'm like, I don't know how he's going to respond. He could be totally cool. He could be an absolute murderer, you know, and just scream at me. And that just not knowing caused that stress in me to flare up to the point that I was feeling physical pain in my chest again. And I haven't felt that in a very long time. Okay. It has to get really bad for me to hurt. And I thought of that letter on my desk and I'm like, you know, I don't know. So when we get there, of course, because I expected it, there was no recourse. It was just, oh, you got three. You need to go back out there. No big deal. Okay. So I printed them off, cut them, one man job, heading back out there. And I can't get in the building. And now I'm stressed because I couldn't get in the building and finish the job today. So all the way home, you know, don't know what his response is going to be. Long story short, I get there and it's almost time to go. So I actually learned, I had a little bit of time and there was a job that needed to be plotted. So I taught myself how to use the plotter. I'd been reading about it over the last couple of days and I'd been messing with some of the functions and the plugins and learning how the buttons worked. So I had this job, I sent it over to the plotting machine and I actually ran it. I messed up. I cut off the waste, threw it away, and then I did it correctly the second time. And I was about to weed it out, which means getting rid of all of the extra, when it was time to go. So I walk out. I noticed that 37's not there and boss isn't there. Okay. So, but me and 21 are there. And so we start to walk out together and he says, oh, you don't even know. Well, you were gone. Boss went off. He was screaming so loud that I heard him from the other end of the building. So let me explain what that is like. Okay. So we have a shop, then we have a back room, and that leads to a hallway that goes the full length of the building. We used to be in another part of the building, the other end of the building, in a smaller space. And typically our back door is open and that back door is open because we're still moving stuff out, or we were. I was. It's getting a lot of stuff done over there. So 21 was down there in that space and he heard through the hallway, through the rooms, through the bouncing, all this, he heard full blast boss screaming at 37. And heard him say the following, amongst other things. The one thing he pointed out was, I could get an MFN robot to do your job. So you see, it's not just yelling, right? It's belittling. It's putting him down. It's putting people down. He's never talked to me that way, but he does to them. He does to them. And that's the worst it's been. So this was me and 21 walking to our cars. I get in the car, I start it, I turn it off. I put my foot out the door. I'm thinking, is this it? Was that it? Is that all I can handle? Is that my sign? And I said, God, some direction here. And I just felt a release. I don't know. I don't want to sound overly spiritual, but I just felt like, yeah, you know, you can do what you want to do. And I said, well, I closed the door, pulled my foot in first, closed the door, started up, rolled around to the front of the office there, got out, went and got my paperwork in my folder. And as I'm walking back from the desk, they come out of his office together. And I said, he says, what's this? And I said, it's my 2-week. He says, oh, you don't want to talk about this? I said, I'd rather not. I'd like to keep things nice and clean. Because what was I going to say? I'm quitting because you're a butthole. I'm quitting because you are out of control. You're creating a hostile work environment. You're mean. You're just belittling and mean. You're just straight up, you know, freaking Taylor Swift. Why you gotta be so mean? You know? So I felt like I did the right thing by saying I'd rather not talk about it. He says, come into my office. And I did. And I think on the way there, what happened is he realized something. He's like, I'm being punished for yelling at 37. Because his attitude when we were face-to-face then, and then when we got to the office and he turned around, I didn't sit down this time, I stood up. He turned around and he just said, I don't see any reason to make this long and drawn out and awkward. He said, you can just go ahead and leave today. And I don't know if he knew it or not, but that was the best possible outcome because I was not wanting to work there 2 more weeks. My sanity, my mental health is so much more important than a paycheck. And that is quoting my wife who supports me so much. And I just stuck out my hand and shook his hand and said, thank you. You know, it was a good job. That's what I said. I didn't say you were a great boss, didn't lick his butt or anything. I just said it was a good job. And it was. And I put on Facebook that day that I quit a job I loved today. Just couldn't stay there. So what that meant, though, as I was walking out, I got to walk out with 37. So, you know, talk about timing and stuff. I'm getting to where I'm going to be spiritual about it, because it's like, that was just crazy that I got to talk to both of them. And so 37's like, yeah, he really lit into me. And I said, I heard what he said. And here's the way 37, this is why 37 hurts me so much, because he's like, I need to try not to mess up. I said, dude, you do not deserve to be treated that way. Even if you did screw up, nobody deserves to be treated that way. See, he took it on himself. You see why it hurt so bad for me to watch that crap, to see that crap? Man, they are on my prayer list. 21 and 37, both of them are on my prayer list until further notice, because they need to get out of there. So the next day, I never know what to expect. I felt great. I felt so free. I went home, you know, I told my kids, I told my wife, we went into it pretty deep with the kids. I just told them the basics of how toxic he was, and they were cool. But the next day, you know, I was fine. I woke up fine. I was at home, and that felt weird. And getting up early, I got up just an hour later, like instead of 6, I got up at 7. I did my devotion times. I did my exercises. I actually exercised what I usually exercise in the afternoon. I did that in the morning too. All my arm exercises and upper body workouts that I'm weaving in. I did all that. And I found stuff to do. And my wife calls me to check in on me, and she says, how are you doing? I said, well, you know how many people yelled at me today? Zero. You know how much stress I had to deal with today? Zero. I'm doing great. She said, well, I never know. I said, hey, I never know either. I felt great after I left the hat company, and we all know how that worked out for 3 months of horrible stuff. But two things that are different is, one, I let hat company go too long. That's not even the first thing. That's just one of the things. The first thing I did is I put that boss in a father figure position to where I cared about what he wanted and what was going to impress him, and what was going to win him over. And I took everything he said personally, as if it was a father saying it. And you guys remember a few weeks back, I tried to do that with this boss, and I'm so glad I was able to talk myself out of it, because I don't care. I didn't care what that man thought of me anymore. He was just a boss, and he paid me a paycheck, and I owed him my best, but whatever he thought of that was separate from what I knew I was giving him. And that man can never say one negative thing about me. Not one negative thing. The only thing that did bother me, and this is why I still see my therapist every 2 weeks, is I'm like, why did I step into the role of needing to save him? Why did I do that? Because you guys heard me. I kind of knew something was going to come to a head. Didn't go down the way I thought it was, but my original plan was that people were going to quit, and I was not. And then I was going to have a heart-to-heart with him. Well, the conflict happened. It just didn't happen the way I thought it would, and I'm the one that quit instead. But in that concept, in that idea, I was going to save him and save his business, and I was going to be Joseph in the prison. You remember that? That whole reference thing? I just overly spiritualized everything. Well, you know, what do they say? Men make plans and God laughs. Well, it just turned out completely different than that. And so it bothered me. I'm like, did I still put him into some sort of father position because of the way he treated me? And I talked to my counselor, and she was so wise. She says, have you ever heard of the drama triangle? And I said, no, I have not. She said, well, here it is. In every bit of drama, there are three roles. There is a victim. There is a persecutor. And then there is a rescuer. Three parts. She said, in your situation, you had a persecutor. Who were your victims? I said, my friends, my coworkers. And you stepped into the role of the rescuer. She said, it has nothing to do with your dad. It has to do with the natural rules, the way things work in drama situations. She said, you thought you could fix it. She said, and that's the negative part. That's the part, that you thought you could rescue. She said that the conversation you had with your boss was you working that role positively, because instead of a rescuer, you want to become a counselor or someone that gives good advice. And that's what you attempted to do when you confronted him that one time. And she said the fact that it's obvious, she actually bragged on me and said that I was awesome, because this whole thing was a big test from the beginning to the end of a lot of the new skills that I've gotten through counseling. I didn't put him in a father figure role. I started deciding what my value and my work was worth on my own merit. And then I did face him and did confront him. And when it didn't change, I didn't allow him to abuse me. I left.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to JD Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at
Menards. And so she says, no, you did everything right. You did everything right. She said, it has nothing to do with your dad, your stepdad, nothing to do with it. It's just the roles that people play in drama. She said, and the roles can shift depending on the perspective of the person that the drama is happening to. For instance, he probably thinks you're the persecutor. And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, he probably does. Because I came face to face with him and called out parts of his personality that he apparently can't control. And so I was the bad guy. That's what I think happened between, hey, let's go talk in my office, and I don't think we need to drag this out. You can leave. Because on the way there, he's like, you know what? All that's going to happen is he's going to talk about me being mean. And I can't do anything about that. So I just need to hire somebody that will work and let me yell at them. Because he's got two guys, apparently, that will do that. So isn't that interesting, though? The persecutor, the victim, and the rescuer. So she asked me then, she says, what about your family? And I said, old family or current family? You know, are we talking about childhood stuff? She says, now, you know, what would you say now? I said, actually, we're really healthy. I said, but back when I was really, really, really bad in depression, I would say I was the persecutor. She says, who was the victims? I said, my wife and kids. She said, and who was the rescuer? I said, Jen. Jen was. She was the rescuer. And she said, but who got punished the most by the persecutor? I said, I did. I did, by far. She says, so you were also the victim. I'm like, my head's like blowing up, you know, because I'm like, whoa, she's so good. She's so good at this. And now that I can think clearly, and depression is not addling my brain. I see the truth in that, that I was so mean to myself. I held myself to these impossible standards. I did not allow myself to be sick. I could not allow. I mean, obviously I had no control, but I never made it okay. It was always wrong. And there's strength in that to a certain extent, because I never wanted to be okay with being broken. And I've said that on this show. I've said I may have it for the rest of my life, but it will never be okay with me. It will never be acceptable. It will never be the way I consider myself normal. I will always be abnormal. I will always be broken. I will always be screwed up. I will never be fine with it. And I think there's strength to that. But at the same time, when you're in the middle of it and you have no control and it's not your fault, you need to give yourself a break, which I never did. I never did. People would try to say, James, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. If you broke your leg, you know, and you couldn't carry something that you promised somebody that you would carry for them, that wouldn't be your fault. And I would always come back with this. I'd say, yeah, but imagine I had to deliver a cake. And on the way, the car broke down. The cake was a wedding cake. Does it really matter about faults and all this kind of stuff? Did I get the cake there or not? I didn't. So I failed. And I'm a failure. It's a pretty strong argument. People would lower their eyes. They wouldn't have anything to say. Because at the end of the day, you either did it or you didn't. You made it or you did not make it. And it's those kind of black and white viewpoints that make depression so hard to survive. Because you didn't deliver the cake and you failed. And guess what? It's not a lie. It's not an exaggeration. It's true. You did fail. It is your fault. And you have such a hard time fighting it because it is reality. But depression makes the reality. And depression creates the situation. Depression is the pop tire on the car. Depression creates the need to get the cake to the party in a certain amount of time. Depression hired you to deliver the cake. Depression creates the entire situation and makes it true and real in every case, and then fights you for failing it. That's why it's so hard to fight depression. Depression is a perfect liar. It takes the truth and it wraps its own set of rules and lies around it so that you and your mind cannot fight it. You just simply have to accept, like I did, thankfully, somehow or another, I was able to believe through my whole season for 10 to 13 years, depending on how persnickety you want to be about measuring time. For a total of 13 years, I finally believed that depression was a liar. No matter how real it was, no matter what the feelings felt like, it was a lie. My kids weren't going to be better off without me. My wife wasn't better off without me. You know, oh, this is going to last forever. It may. It may. It may not. But at the time, I didn't know that. I didn't know you could outlive it. But you can. Depression is the perfect liar because, I don't know, get me talking about the devil. The devil lies that way. If you read the confrontation between Christ and the devil out in the wilderness, Satan quotes scripture. He takes truth from the Bible, manipulates it, and throws it in Jesus' face. Jesus knows the scriptures, obviously, doesn't fall for it, responds with scripture, defeats the devil. And that is, in essence, how you defeat, that's how you defeat depression by believing blindly and stupidly the truth. Not the truth the depression tells you, but believing things that don't make sense. I am worthwhile. No, you're not. You're useless. You're pointless. You're hurting people around you. You suffer. You suck. Everything about you is wrong and screwed up and messed up. You have no value. You don't have a job. You're not doing anything. It takes you forever to get out of bed. You want to sleep all the time. Showering hurts. It's just, you are just the worst. Okay, but I have value. I have freaking value, and you might have to cry yourself through it. I have value. I am better off alive. There will be a day when you are dead and I am not. So I quit my job, and I did it for mental health reasons. Thankfully, I can afford to. I only worked to pull in some extra money. I kind of consider myself retired. I did my pastor thing, you know? And then the last 10 years I suffered, 13 years total. 3 years I managed to keep working, but 10 years of just suffering. On and off, mostly on though. And now seems like it's gone. Fingers crossed, you know, and all that. I believe I'm healed. But I'm telling you, that anxiety sure enough came back the minute it could. So I feel like it's all right there. It's all right there. It's like I'm in a protective, fenced-in area. And the tigers are just wandering back and forth across the chain link, waiting for me to get close enough to maybe nip a finger, to grab an arm, waiting for me. And I'm not going to let no job, no man drag me down. And I made sure, I had to make sure, because man, those depressive feelings come, and the depressive feelings wanted to say, James, you're a loser because you just quit your second job. You just can't handle this, can you? So I went to my wife and I said, Jen, I need to hear it. I need to hear that you're okay with this, that you don't think I'm a loser, and that you understand why I did it, and that it was important to do it. And she said, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, quit my job. I have since applied for 3 jobs and I've had 1 phone interview. It is for a big audio visual firm here in town that has 34 locations across the country, and I would be their in-house graphic designer. I would not work for customers, the business. I would work for them, creating flyers and who knows what else, using their branding, their logos. So maybe not super creative, but it is a step up, I think, from making signs, even though I loved that job. I really did. And I loved my coworkers. And I even liked my boss, except he was just, he's crazy. He's a crazy man. So, health updates. I am approaching 220 pounds. I'm at 221.3, I think. So, my stretch goal, my goal was 230. That's what the doctor told me I would get to. At 230, I said, you know what? 215 is what I want to be at. So I'm almost there. You know, we're getting there. The scale continues to go down. My wife has this idea of me being at 200. If I get there, I get there. Eventually, though, what I eat normally will level out and my metabolism and everything will level out and my weight loss will level out. But I'm going to really shoot for 215. I look really good when I stand up, but when I sit down, I got a little pooch, little dad pooch. And I would like it to be a little less than that. So I told you last week, my wife broke and went out and bought me new clothes. So I have shorts, workout shorts. I have jeans. I have t-shirts and undershirts and underwear. And I do have to say, it feels good to be in clothes that fit. It is great. It is a wonderful thing. Workouts are going good. I'll be starting week three. Actually, I started week three this morning. I've been doing my workouts in the morning, and I think that's the way I want to do it once I get my job too, is I will wake up early enough to walk and to do my workout. And I got my workout off of the YouTubes, and I just looked up upper body dumbbell workout for people that have never worked out. And I got a basic thing, and I watched the video, I took notes, and I changed a couple of the exercises to dumbbell equivalents, because this guy had you going into a gym, and I'm not doing the gym. That's not good for my mental health. It's working out in a gym. I don't need that. I don't need to be working out next to some, you know, skinny person that has lots of muscles. I need to be where I'm at. So I have 220-pound weights, and I bought a weight bench that inclines so I can use it to do my exercises on. So I feel good about that. Podcasting-wise, my favorite thing to talk about on the show, I fixed the website this week. I updated some graphics. So if you go to nlcast.com, you'll see a brand new logo, brand new header, brand new footer. I updated all of the podcast pages with new information, just simplified things a little bit, and I fixed the media player. The media player was a big problem for me. So just imagine a black bar, you know, like a media player. It has the little progress bar, you know, like on YouTube. And on one side, it's supposed to be play, right? The other side is supposed to be maybe some options and stuff like that. So that's what's underneath all of my episodes on the show, on the website. But instead of individual buttons, there were all play buttons. The stop, the rewind 10 seconds, the fast forward 10 seconds, everything was play buttons. And I don't think that many people listen on the website. Well, I said that on our Discord, and somebody's like, I started on the website and it was very confusing. I'm like, okay, good. Okay. I did have a point. It was a plugin, a WordPress plugin that wasn't necessary. And, I disabled it, and instantly it fixed itself. It doesn't have fast forward 10 seconds and rewind 10 seconds anymore. It just has play and stop, and that's about it. But you know what? If you want fancy stuff like that, you do what the Lord intended, and you subscribe through your favorite software. I use Pocket Casts on my Android. I will soon be switching, but we'll talk about that in a second. Fix the media player. NarthexCon is coming up on the 29th. Every week it comes closer and closer. I made badges this week. I laminated all of them. And I ordered lots of stuff. We're going to have a photo booth. And I've got these handheld signs that people can hold that have inside jokes on them. I have an inflatable cow that is going to be there. I bought some towers for balloons, and I bought a 8x8 foot NarthexCon logo that'll be in the background. And I even got a telescoping banner holder that this thing will hang off of. I got it for $30 something. So Amazon's amazing. If you want cheap party supplies, I got balloons. I got crushed up paper that you put, you know, crinkle cut paper that you put inside of gift bags and stuff. I mean, I really want to make it special. It is going to be special because everybody that's coming. But NarthexCon is going to be great. If you don't know what I'm talking about, NarthexCon.com. It's the 29th. It's here in St. Louis. Live podcast recording, meetups with the hosts and other listeners, special guests, Chris Cowan and Daniel J. Lewis. We're going to have a great time. There's trivia. There's giveaways. The t-shirts are free. The food's free. The drinks are free and custom drinks. We ask you what you want to drink in advance and we get it and we have it here for you. So we love on you guys from 2 to about 6 o'clock and it's going to be great. We're going to have a professional photographer there this time. We've had professional photographers in the past. They just happen to be there and they share their skills for free. This year we're having to pay for one. So, We're really looking forward to it, and I hope you could come. There is a deadline, and that would be the 22nd, so the week before, the Saturday before. If you want a t-shirt, the deadline is the 13th. That's this Thursday. So if you get your registration in. That's the only trick, is you have to register at narthexcon.com, NARTHEXCON.com. Depression updates, not depressed, definitely not depressed. But I started feeling heart pain because of the job. I mentioned that already. It was a good sign to leave. But the other day, I was at an event with a bunch of friends and some people that I didn't know. And it was a pretty kind of random, crazy event because of the personalities of the people that were there. And I just got to a point where I was done. And I used to get that way with depression. And I'm like, well, this is a shame. This is a shame because I am ready to freaking get out of here. And I told my wife, you know, it's time to go. And so she starts getting ready to go. She's got some dishes to collect and things like that. And I said, I'm just going to go sit out in the car, which she knows I do. I just have to get out of the room. I said goodbye to everybody. Sometimes I used to not say goodbye. But I played the part and said, nice to meet everybody, blah, blah, blah. See you later. And then I brought it up with my counselor and I'm like, you know, is this depression? She said, no. Everybody has a certain amount of emotional energy. That has nothing to do with depression, especially if it's like a high stress kind of thing. I said, yeah, there were some pretty strong personalities that were there that were kind of dominating the conversation. And I didn't know that they were going to be there. I thought it was going to be more of a, just friends and family kind of event. So I'll know to prepare myself for that in the future. But, you know, running out of social energy is a thing that can happen to anyone. It's not a depression thing. So I have nothing to worry about, you know, so far. So family updates, Jen and Jay are working and they're just living life. And the only thing exciting that's happened is I got a new chair for my office. Because the old one was too tall and it showed ugly in YouTube videos. So I got one that's below my shoulders. It's called a mid-back chair. It's pretty comfortable so far. I'm sitting in it for the first time, podcasting in it for the first time. He inherited my giant oversized chair. It was a chair that was for obese people that I don't need anymore. He loves it though because he can sit cross-legged and play video games. And then my daughter inherited his IKEA chair. But we took the back off of it so it could be a stool so she could do her makeup in front of her desk. So that's the most exciting thing there. Jen finished week 2 and now she has started week 3 as of today. The most exciting thing has been how great everybody's been there and the reports that she's brought back about the culture of her workplace. But she did have her first sit-down meeting with the people that she is kind of over, you know, as far as hierarchy goes. And she asked some questions. I don't remember all the details, but one of the guys, crotchety old boomer guy, said, well, that's stupid. You know, what she wanted to know is stupid. It's basically what he said. And then he went on and on and on about how things didn't need to change and blah, 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 blah. And we've been doing fine. So she came home that day and she's like, well, I guess I need to slow down because this guy, you know, I'm going to hit some resistance and it's just better to move slow. you know, when you have that, rather than trying to do things all at once. But the next day she had a meeting with her boss and he says, I heard about the meeting. He's in New York, so they always meet over, you know, Skype or whatever it is that business people meet over, Facebook. I don't know what it is. He said, I heard about that meeting. And I heard you had some resistance. He said, listen, you have my utmost support and I want things to change. And what you wanted was not stupid. And holy crap, is that an awesome thing to hear? So awesome. Her old boss was a good guy, but he was kind of wimpy when it came to confrontations. And that's why they ended up screwing her over, because he didn't stand up for her when they were supposed to. And he didn't stand up for his employees when they started making policies that most of the staff didn't agree with and didn't want to work under. So it's nice for her to have a boss that is, that's got some guts. Let's just say guts instead of what I was going to say. So, what am I watching, reading, playing, and doing? I am reading Grace Walk by Steve McVeigh. Still reading that. I'm about halfway through now. And I want to suggest this book to everyone. If you're a person that struggles with your Christian walk, okay, and you feel like you need to be doing more, and you feel like you're stagnant, maybe you feel like you're not doing enough, or you're caught into a sin, you're just too sinful for, you know, and you feel like you're screwing it up, you need to read this book, because it will free you so much. And freedom and truth and light free you from sin loops, traps, whatever you want to call them. Light, your true nature will free you from your sins. And not having to work hard at being a Christian is the best gift anybody can be given.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You know, you would never tell an unbeliever that they need to work really, really hard and then they could get saved, right? But we do that. We think that grace doesn't apply to us. Oh, if I want to be a better Christian, I got to work really, really hard and then I'll do it. But that's not truth. That's not truth. Grace Walk by Steve McVeigh. You need to check it out. I bought it online. I got a paperback version because it's like $10 on Amazon. You could probably get it cheaper secondhand. Mine's got highlights in it. So it's a little annoying that I get to find out what somebody else was blessed by. Because I'm not necessarily blessed by the same things that they are. So it's okay. I'm also reading a terrible book. It's really good, but it's a bad book. And it's called The Book of Skulls by Robert Silverberg. It was written in 1974 or 72. 1972. And it is a sci-fi book about these four guys that are riding out to the middle of Arizona in the desert to some sort of cult thing, because they read in a book that if one of them sacrifices their life, the rest of them get eternal life. And so it's an interesting theme, but the greatest part is every chapter is being told by one of the four guys. And that took me a while, because typically I skip the chapter titles and I just get to reading. And it took me a minute. I had to go back, because every one of them, the chapter titles is the name of the guy. And it takes a little while to get the guys memorized, but they are very unique. They all have different ways about them. One of them is very depraved, and I don't care for him, but I think part of his story arc is he's going to be redeemed at the end. Typically, that's usually what happens with really, really messed up people. But no, it's a good read, and it's part of that book club that I joined. And because the book's so good, and if I finish it in time, I might go to the second meeting. But again, I feel like I want something different from the book club, because the book club seems to be a bunch of people that don't want to talk about the book, and one guy that runs it that he just wants to talk about the book. If I was running a book club, I would do it perfect, of course. That is the ultimate result that I want us to get to here. But if I was running it, I would have things to say. Obviously, I would have a bullet list of things to bring up, but they would be things to spark conversations. I would come with a bunch of questions as well. What did you think about blah, blah, blah? And I would probably get online and find a list of questions from somebody else's reading group and cheat my butt off and have all these good questions about different plot points, different characters, different settings. What did you think about this when this happened and that happened? And then get people really involved in having conversations about the book rather than just monologuing about what turned you on about the book, which is what the guy does. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll go back or not, but I've already told you I'm going to steal their book ideas. I'm going to stay a part of the group to get their book ideas, because so far, so good. I've been watching The Acolyte. Okay, now The Acolyte is a Star Wars branded TV show. There's been a lot of them, not all of them good, most of them not good. And on Rotten Tomatoes, it's gotten good critical reviews, but bad user reviews. There's a 2-episode premiere. I watched both of them and I loved it. My wife said, you probably won't like it because there's gay stuff in it. Now, let me qualify that. I love gay people. My heart goes out to gay people. But I don't like seeing straight people make out. Okay. I don't like seeing straight people PDA. I don't like seeing straight people sex scenes. So I definitely don't like seeing, I don't like seeing two dudes macking. I don't like seeing two girls making out. Okay. So like, for instance, I didn't care for the end scene of episode 9 of Star Wars, when there's two lesbians kissing each other. I didn't watch Buzz Lightyear because there was a homosexual kiss in it. So again, I have to repeat that I love gay people, but I do believe in sin, and I believe that God calls homosexuality sin, and I don't like seeing it. Okay? I just don't care for it. It's just a preference thing for me. So I asked Gemini, which is Google's new AI. It replaced the Google Assistant on my phone. And I said, I just flatly said, like some sort of redneck, is The Acolyte got a bunch of gay stuff in it? And they said there is LGBTQ+ representation, but it is not the main focus of the story. So I have to give it respect for answering the question I was asking. Because yeah, it said, yeah, there's gay stuff, but it's not a lot of gay stuff, and it's not the main point. And that's the thing for me. Let's represent everyone, okay? But let's not over-represent everyone. And that's the problem I have with LGBTQ representation in movies and films, is that we've gone too far the other direction, and we're over to the point that it's promoting it. And personally, I don't feel like it's something that should be promoted. Okay. So, my heart goes out to the gay community. My heart goes out to people that have issues with gender dysphoria. I know that we all have our pains and our struggles and the things we deal with identity, whether it be sexual identity, whether it be sexual alignment, you know, all that kind of stuff. Some of us eat too much. Some of us sleep around too much. Some of us, you know, I don't know. I don't know what sin you want to put in there, but everybody's got stuff. So I don't judge anyone, but I do have preferences. You know, there's certain things I don't want to put in my head. And the Book of Skulls has such a character, but I'm willing to deal with it to see what his story arc is going to be. So anyway, The Alkalite so far gets 2 thumbs up from me. If you haven't seen the first 2 episodes, you should. It really, really, really is good. I mean, freaking Trinity is fighting in the opening scene. Trinity from Dagum Matrix. It's just amazing. There's so much good fighting. You get to see force powers. And it takes place several hundred years before episode 4. So this is when Coruscant wasn't quite as big of a mega city. They show Coruscant and it's just not as busy as it was later. It's really well done. And for a prequel show, I'm really digging it because the prequels get a lot of hate, but so far so good. All right, playing. I bought a game, and I know you're going to be disappointed because I said no more games until I've beaten the other games, and I haven't been playing many games. I've been playing the one hacker game, Watch Dogs 2, and I need to stick to it, but. A game I've had on my list for a while is Resident Evil Village. It's a first-person shooter, but it's a puzzle game, and it's got horror elements in it, like werewolves and vampires and stuff like that. But it's still Resident Evil, so everything is based off the T-virus and all these different viruses. And I don't know. I love the Resident Evil series. I played the last one, and survival horror is very difficult. But it's very fun. So I bought it and I have been playing it. I've put in a couple of hours this week and that's about it. Because I have to prioritize, and gaming is last on the priority list. What am I doing? Well, I fixed, I installed a chandelier. I had a very busy Sunday where I put together a chair for my wife. I installed a chandelier. I put up a ceiling fan. I washed or I trimmed the dogs. So I think I mentioned all that last week. Well, the chandelier turned out to be a bit much. We had 10 60-watt Edison bulbs in there, and it was like the light of Christ shining down on us. Like your sin was found out the minute you walked into my kitchen, because it was just so bright. And I was going to get lower wattage. So I went to go return them, and I saw the keyword dimmable in the title. I'm like, oh. So I immediately bought a dimmer, and that joker came the next day, and I installed that dimmer, and now it's perfect. It works so good. And my daughter even called me smart because she said we should get smaller bulbs. My wife said we should get frosted bulbs. My daughter said we should put little paper shades over each bulb. And I'm like, that would look ridiculous. But I fixed it, and I was the smartest. I'm the fixer of the house. I also fixed the air conditioner for $13. Well, $120 plus $13, so $135. So I called, it's just, I pray for favor every day, and my prayers are getting answered so much. You just don't even know how well prayer is working out. It is literally life-changing. So I pray for favor with people and with God and my family and stuff. So I called the air conditioner guy, and I always hate calling the air conditioner guy because you're going to get scammed. You're just scammed, you know? So I took the guy around the back, and he said, "Oh, I know what's wrong. Your capacitor's blown. You need a new capacitor." He said, "It's going to be $415. I said, "Dadgum, last time I replaced a capacitor, it was $350. He says, "Yeah, that was probably a few years ago." I said, I don't know, man. I just can't do that right now." And it was true. I can't do it. We're having the deck painted, you know, Jenna's car got wrecked and it's totaled. They're stolen and totaled. And we just bought Jay a truck. I mean, we got kids in school. It was, you know, we're just not, I don't have $400 to spend on a capacitor that I know costs $13. And he says, "Are you handy?" I said, "Yeah." So he took the piece he took off my lawnmower or my air conditioner, he took out a marker and he marked out a diagram of the top of the capacitor. He says, "Here's what each one's labeled. You won't see it on the old one because it's rusty, but the new one will have these labels. Here are the colors of the wires that go into them." And then he put the piece back on and he said, "Open up Amazon." I did. And he gave me the model number and part number at $13. And I bought the part. It came in the next day. I went out there in 15 minutes. I plugged in the parts and the air conditioner works. The guy did not have to do what he did. But somehow or another, I just blame God. And I thank him because I believe he gave me favor with that man. And the guy just said, "Look, you know, the air conditioner, the whole air conditioning industry is going to have to change the way they do business because people aren't stupid anymore. They're going to get on Amazon. They're going to find out how much these parts cost." He says, "Do you know that some AC repair people change the names of their parts? Instead of capacitor, they would say electronic distributor. And that way, if you Google it, you wouldn't get the part and wouldn't find out how much they're charging you. Because the one in my truck costs $415. The one at Amazon costs $13. And I just caught him at the exact right time because he was really mad with his own company. He said, "I've been doing this too long and I'm tired of, you know, this. And if you're handy, you could fix it." And so he says, "I still have to charge you for showing up." I said, "I understand that. That was $120, which again is ridiculous because the guy that showed up to fix that, you know, gave me a quote on my gutters didn't charge me to come out. But anyway, so I fixed the AC for $13. Thank God. Thanks and glory to God for that. I replaced the bathroom fan. Not a big deal, but it's something that would have taken me a month or two to do, to get it all together, to even write it down as a note. It would have added pressure to me. I would have had to have gotten ready or dressed to go out to Lowe's. It's just so easy to do things now. And it used to be so hard. So everything, including replacing the bathroom fan, is a miracle to me still. And I kind of hope I never get used to it. I hope I always have a respect and a thanks for the way things are. Like today, I was behind my desk arranging some cables, doing some cable management, and I needed to get something. And I just stood up and went over and got it. And you say, "Well, what's the big deal with that?" I used to be really fat, and getting up meant I had to go down I couldn't squat, first of all. I would have to sit on the floor. And then to get up, I had to have to go on all fours and then pull one knee up and then kind of leverage off of the top of the desk and pull myself. Anyway, I just stood up. And it's between the weight loss and the exercise that I'm able to do that without anything, without even a thought. I did it before I even thought about it. I'm like, why did that just kind of get stuck in your brain? You know, it's got stuck in my brain filter. It's because I haven't done that in years. I was in this small little tight space and I just stood up. Oh, so anyway, I'm working on a buzz project too. I'll talk about it more later. I'm getting all my parts together, but I have not felt like doing something creative in a very, very, very long time. The last time I did a buzz project, I was carving a marionette out of wood and I sliced my finger open. And by the time that healed and all the stitches were, I was just out of the mood. I was in bad mood and I haven't done anything crafty, but I have a piece of pixel art that I created a few years back of Buzz Lightyear. And I had this idea of taking 1 centimeter squares, painting each of them, and then gluing them together. And I wanted to do this out of wood. And so I looked on Amazon. Amazon has wooden 1 centimeter squares, but they are not perfectly square. I looked up plastic and I found out there's such a thing as counting squares for teachers to use with preschool students. And they are perfectly square. They are perfectly 1 centimeter. They are not the right color, but I got some primer. I got some paint. And I went out and got all this stuff and I'm ready. I bought 400 of these squares because I need exactly 322. And I'm going to make this Buzz Lightyear. So stay tuned and for pictures and stuff like that. I don't know if I'm going to do a video or not, but we'll just see. We'll see. I'm going to be pushing my luck. I always like to end with something positive. If you're depressed, be depressed. But be depressed and kind, especially to those who love you. It's so easy. And early in my career as a depressed person, I would lash out and I would take out frustrations. But these people that love you, you need to be nice to them. And it is possible. Communicate as much as you can. Teach them how to handle you. Teach them what hurts and what doesn't hurt. Teach them how to ask you if you're okay. Because you're not okay. And when people say, "Are you okay?" it hurts. So find out what works. Work together. This is not just for spouses and boyfriends and girlfriends. This is for your friends too. Help them to know what you need from them. If they truly love you and truly support you, they will be eager to hear what you have to say. So if you have to write it down, write it down. If you can communicate it, communicate it. But it all starts with you being kind to those people. Because just because it hurts doesn't mean they meant to hurt you. This episode was brought to you by our supporting members on Patreon. With special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt. Join the community. Become a supporting listener today. Patreon.com/GOK. Email your feedback, thoughts, questions. James@NLCast.com. For everything else, visit OutlivingDepression.com. We'll see you guys next time. God bless.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.